Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress Manicure and Press-On Falsies.
Hello, I'm Gemma and welcome to a brand new series of Good Influence. This is the podcast where I welcome our guests to discuss their experiences, answer your questions, and teach us something new. This week we're talking about influence. Using influencing for good, where pressure can arise as a role model, and the power that comes from sharing our differences. So joining me this week is Tasha Gorey. Tasha is a dancer, model, and reality TV personality who you probably know best from her time on the summer 2022 season of Love Island. Tasha made history as the first deaf contestant, educating fellow islanders about what she calls her superpower and placing fourth with boyfriend Andrew. Since leaving Love Island, she's amassed over 1.5 million followers on Instagram and used that platform to promote awareness for the hard of hearing community, as well as notably highlighting secondhand shopping through her content and partnership with eBay.
Show like Love Island, you don't see much diversity and representation. So going in, I had to kind of be like, right, I had to make a positive impact, because that's what it's about, is, you know, I want to change people's perspective on people with superpowers.
So I want to ask you about some of the different ways that you've kind of personally used your influence. But first, shall we talk a bit about influence and influencing in general, I guess, because you had an Instagram following of like a decent size before Love Island, right, through the other work that you did. But how has the experience been different kind of after coming out of Love Island and having that much bigger platform to work with?
I think, you know, before Love Island, I tried to use my platform as much as I could. Even though I had a small following, I really was trying to raise awareness as much as I could. So coming out of the show and having probably triple the size I did before, it's quite at time it was quite overwhelming. I was a bit like, oh, okay, like I didn't know what to do. But at the same time, I kind of had to think, it's not really any different. The only difference is you've just got more people supporting you. And that's kind of how I see it, is the people that follow me as my supporters, because they follow me for that reason, is to support me. And obviously it can come with negatives as well. Obviously when you're on a big show like that, it's not always just, you know, it's not always the grass is green on the other side. It's pretty, it can be quite intense sometimes. And I think I'm still kind of getting used to it a little bit, but I'm still using my platform for what I'm passionate about. You know, I want to make a difference and talk about my experiences to help other people. And that's why going on the show, that's why I did what I did. So yeah, I think that's why I'm just kind of using my platform to do that. But it has been a massive change for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a really nice way to look at it, actually, that it's the number of people following you. You're like, they're there to support you. Like, I quite like that. I don't think I've heard anyone say it like that before. I mean, it's interesting to hear you say, because I mean, so I watched your season of Love Island. I haven't watched it for years and years, but I've watched like a couple of seasons. I watched your one. Yeah. But I feel like whenever you hear people talk about going on Love Island, all anyone ever says is, you know, well, I went on to find love. And at this point, we're kind of like, well, sure, like that's a nice bonus, but that's not a guarantee when you go into a show like that. But what you do know is going to happen most of the time these days is you're going to end up with a much bigger audience than you had when you went into the show, right? Why do you think that's such a draw for so many people now? And I mean, you did just say that using that platform was going to be important to you.
Yeah, I think, you know, going on the show, I went for two reasons, was to genuinely find someone and also to raise awareness about my cochlear implant and my deafness. So, you know, being the first person that was kind of deaf and hearing impaired, it was scary for me. I was literally like, I don't know how it's going to go. But I thought, you know what, I'm just going to go in, be my authentic self and see what happens. And I think, like you said, it can go two ways. You can come out and have a big following, or you can come out and not. So it really does vary, and you can't go in with a plan of like, I'm going to walk out with, for example, a million followers, 1 million followers on TikTok, etc. You can't, you have to be very open-minded to where a situation come out on the outside of it, mm-hmm. that's what you're going to get. And that's why going in on the show, I literally watching like, okay, whatever happens, happens pretty much. And I have to be open-minded. And you can't go in with expectations as well, because you'll let yourself down if you don't come out with those expectations. And I think the reason why it's come so influenced, I think because Love Island gets so many viewers watching that program. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's like one of the biggest top viewing programs in the UK, probably in Europe. But and I think people just get really invested in their relationships that come out of the show. So mm-hmm. I think that's why the followings are quite big, you know, because people want to know how's it going after the show. It doesn't stop when the show ends, you know. It's crazy. Like even 6 months on, people are still so interested in me and Andrew and like what we're up to and what we're doing. So it really is interesting in how it's crazy when you think about it. People really, really do care about, you know, you as a couple and stuff, even after the show.
Mm. Yeah, which I mean is a good thing, really, I guess, because it's the longevity, like it's such a change to your life that it would be, it must be quite different if that, you know, goes away more quickly. Because I know, like, obviously people all have a lot of different experiences. Not everyone comes out and has the exact same experience after the show. Considering what you said about coming out and having more followers, you were saying is kind of, it's the same thing, but just with a bigger audience. How does the experience differ of kind of having that platform increase in size and interacting with people on social media? How is that different from the other kinds of sort of media attention that you'll now get from, say, things like tabloid newspapers and stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously tabloids and newspapers comes in as well, so there's a whole world. Like, I've never been in a newspaper before, and I was literally like seeing my face on newspapers and stuff is literally like it was weird to kind of see that. And I think the difference is obviously you've got big, like, have more of a bigger audience, bigger platform, and I think there's more of a magnifying glass on me and Andrew, you know, because we're a couple, we're together on that show, so it's kind of like everything we do, it really is on a magnifying glass. And I think that scares me a little, in terms of, I'm quite a private person, so let's keep things quite private between me and Andrew, especially my friends. I keep them very private. Like, I don't really post them much on my stories and stuff, because I don't want trolls then going to them and, you know, sending them messages. That's the thing that changes my mentality. Like, before I'd be like out of my friends, I'd be like, woo, like out of my besties. Whereas now I wouldn't really do that as much, because you just don't know, like, who's going to go and message my friend, like, being a troll and stuff. And I don't want that responsibility on them. So that's kind of like the big difference for me, like, coming out. And I think also always been engaging, like, you know, social media is kind of now my job, because I'm having to constantly be engaging on them, constantly having to, you know, make sure that, you know, that like the brands I'm working with, make sure like they're on time, like, you know, there's a lot of things that play into it now, and sometimes can get really stressful. There's been lots of times where I've literally just wanted to like throw my phone and just be like, ah, but because it can get so overwhelming. But I think obviously the first 5 to 6 months, it's very crazy, because there's that hype around, like, the Irons have come out, they spent 11 weeks in the filler, and it's all like very crazy. But now it's starting to kind of calm down a bit. It's quite nice. And but yeah, I think, you know, I'm like so grateful, because I came out to a lot of support and a lot of positivity, whereas before in the show I had quite a bit of an up and down in there, but coming out, I came out to a lot of support, and I think that really made it better for me.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that, actually. Yeah, because it's, I mean, following the show when you were on it, it was a very kind of like rocky up and down kind of experience for you. It looked like, on the screen anyway. So I'm glad it felt supportive when you came out. I mean, you did say though about trolling and kind of people messaging your friends and stuff. Like, do you think is that something that you've experienced a lot of? Like, has that been a big part of the kind of influencer experience for you?
Definitely. I think especially when I was in the filler, my friends and family had it really bad because they had to deal with it. I don't have my phone in there. So it's heartbreaking to come out and see the things that were said about me whilst I was in there. And I was literally like, that's not me as a person. And that's the thing with putting yourself on a TV show, is that those things are going to happen. Like, you are going to get trolls, you are going to get negativity. And for me, it's got to a point where ableism was involved. Like, there's TikToks of people taking me out of my voice, people saying I would get hearing aid and prefer it into the pool. Like, it's crazy how people can get so invested in that one person to rip them apart. And
yeah,
that's why you have to be so mentally strong to go on a show like that. And coming out, yeah, don't get me wrong, there's still quite a few negative comments, but there's probably like 1% out of 99% positive comments I see. So I always focus on the positive ones and don't focus so much on negative ones. And I think if you focus like that, then you're not really gonna, because if you go looking for it, then you're constantly gonna keep looking for that one bit of like negativity. So I think that's why you have to always focus on the positives. And if you focus on the positives, then you're going to be absolutely fine. But I think the hardest part is knowing that your friends and family have to deal with it all, because they're the ones that are having to have your back whilst you're in there.
Yeah, definitely. Is that, I mean, that must be, because some people in, if they're, you know, working as an influencer, I guess they'd have the same sort of thing where they might keep their family quite private, but they might also keep, you know, like a partner quite private. But for you and Andrew, both kind of doing the same kind of influencing work now, have you found like there's much difference between the two of you and his experience as a man in that kind of space and yours as a woman? Do you think it's a very different sort of experience?
I think for Andrew, it's a whole new world to him. Before, he's doing real estate in Dubai. Like, he never knew how to use TikTok. Like, he was so like oblivious to how to use, even do like a TikTok video and stuff. So coming out, whereas before I was doing modeling and I was doing, you know, kind of social content, I think that kind of already was kind of tied in with that a little bit. So to come out for Andrew is literally like, oh, Tash, I don't know how you do TikTok. Like, I don't even know like how to do posts and stuff. So it tied in quite nicely because I've been like helping him, like, you know, do the things that he needs to do. And I think in an influencing world, I think it is harder for guys to kind of get like brand deals and stuff, because for girls, there's so much out there. You've got like makeup, you've got hair, you've got clothes, you've got shoes, you've got skincare. There's so many things, whereas for guys, it's a little bit harder to try and find your feet a little bit. So obviously, Andrew's passion is real estate, so he still wants to focus on that, but also do a little bit of, you know, clothes and stuff. But he's got a niche, and I think it's quite important to have a niche when you come out. Mm-hmm. And like, that niche will really help you with longevity in the future. So I think, like, it has been a bit hard for, I think it's just harder for guys, which is really strange, because you think it'd be quite the same, but it's actually for girls. You see all these girls getting massive brand deals and stuff, and the guy's not really doing so much. But I think that's just because of more what's out there, and like a lot of more like girlier brands, I think, to support the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. It must be, I feel like when you talk about men versus women on social media, it's usually from kind of, you know, quite a different perspective than that. But when you look at it and the kind of influencer world, like as a job, yeah, I can see that there must be things for men that are actually a bit more difficult, which isn't usually the case with a lot of these things. So that's an interesting one. So we've obviously mentioned already about you, basically one of the reasons you wanted to go on the show is to bring sort of awareness to the hard of hearing community. I feel like you were very intentional with using very kind of like positive language around being deaf, and, you know, would describe it as your superpower when you were talking to people about it. Was that quite important to you to kind of go in and not only sort of spread awareness and be that kind of role model, but to make sure you were speaking positively about it from the outset?
Definitely. I think, you know, a show like Love Island, you don't see much diversity and representation. So going in, I have to kind of be like, right, I have to make a positive impact, because that's what it's about, is, you know, I want to change people's perspective on people with superpowers from negative to a positive. Because there is a lot of like negativity and how people see people with superpowers, that they see them as different, when really that's not the case. Like, we're all equal. The only difference is that maybe I wear a cool thing around my ear. That's literally it. Mm-hmm. And so that's why going in on the show, I was kind of like, I'm going to walk in and be open. And the first night, I was so nervous to tell everyone, but I thought I'd rather get it done, get it out of the way.
Yeah.
Rather doing it one by one, because that would just take probably the whole night to do that. So I just thought, let's get everyone together. And I was so nervous, but I felt so much better, because I knew that me doing that was going to help so many people out there watching, you know, you know, younger generation with superpowers being like, if she could be open about it, so can I. Mm-hmm. And that's why that moment was so pivotal, because I wanted to show people you can be open and no one's going to judge you for it. And I didn't get judged. Like, everyone was so welcoming. They were literally like, oh, that's so cool. Like, I'm not going to judge you or treat you any different. So that's why I went into positive impact. And even throughout the show, I had conversations with Andrew. Like, we had so many conversations more about how it worked, and even to like some of your reminders. And I just wanted to keep doing that throughout the show, because it's a part of me and I don't want to hide away from that, that that's part of who I am. So I always wanted to make sure that people that were watching with superpowers could also be like, I could be like her one day. And I just want to give that confidence to people. And I feel like there's such a stigma around people with superpowers that can't date, can't find love, mm-hmm. all these things, can't be confident. That's why I went in being confident and being who I am, because you can be these, all these amazing things.
Yeah, so there's, I'll come on to asking you questions that people have sent in a little bit. But yeah, I'm definitely going to be asking you questions from people about kind of finding that confidence with like an implant, for example. So yeah, I think that's definitely from the messages I've had even for the podcast. Like, I think you've definitely done that job of, you know, showing an example of someone being really confident with it. So that is great. How do you find the sort of balance of, because I think it's one of those, as you were saying, it's kind of trying to show a positive example, but also trying to show that you're kind of no different from anyone else. I think that can be quite a difficult sort of line to tread sometimes, between fitting into that kind of role model, kind of pressure to be a certain way and pressure to be a role model, or the other side of saying, you know, I'm just a normal person. I just happen to have this thing that's different about me. Is that kind of, do you feel you go between those two things?
I get where you're coming from. I think it's hard now, because I think I kind of do, I don't really feel the pressure in terms of like, I have to be this kind of role model. I think me being me is enough, if that makes sense. I think what I'm doing and how I am is like me as a person. So I feel like sometimes I feel like I'm not doing enough sometimes. I do have days where I'm like, I feel like I'm just not doing enough in terms of, I now have this platform. I sometimes think I should be doing more. But then that's also like, you can't do everything in the day, you know, it takes time. And I sometimes need to take that pressure off myself, because I do that quite a lot. I'm like, sometimes say to myself, like, oh, I feel like I should be doing something, but I am working on something. Got a project of my own coming up, and that's happening soon. It's like, because that's going to happen soon, then that's going to take that pressure off me, because it's something I'm passionate about. So it's kind of like, it's kind of wishy-washy sometimes. I'm like, I feel like I should be doing more, but I feel like I need to remember I am doing enough. And yeah, I definitely feel like it can be a bit pressurized sometimes, but it's not in terms of people giving me that pressure. I do it to myself, really. That makes sense.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. Yeah, I see what you mean. It's, yeah, I think, yeah, it's definitely a difficult balance. Like, I would even find that just from, you know, someone who's got like a large Instagram platform, like, for example, that, yeah, I think it is quite often that pressure that you put on yourself to do something good with it.
Yeah.
Has that always been something that's important to you? I feel like we're starting to kind of see a little bit of a change in the sort of influencer world, if you like, where people are a lot of people anyway are kind of using those platforms to take causes that they care about and talk about them more. Do you think that's something that people expect more now?
100%. I think, you know, kind of back in a few years ago, I feel like Instagram was very like, you had to be this perfect girl, perfect body, you have to be, you know, a certain way, like blonde hair, like etc. And I think nowadays social media is so much more, I see so much more representation on social media. I think TikTok's what started it. I think TikTok really started to break that boundaries and stigma around, you know, having to be this perfect person. And I see so amazing influencers using the platform for good. And, you know, like so many incredible people out there that use it for the better. And I think people expect that now more because it's normal. Like, it's human. And I think, even when I post a picture on my cochlear implant, like, people still like get shocked, like not shocked, but people still sometimes get surprised that I would post that. And I'm like, well, it's it's normal. So I think it should be more normalized, and there's so many, like, it's definitely opening up a lot more, and it's nice to see that people use their platform, like even people with superpowers, or, you know, trying to think, like, for example, Millie, she was on Love Island 2 years ago, mm-hmm. and she suffers from acne, and she talks about it openly on her social media, and, you know, she gives advice on how to work with it. And I think that's great. And that's how it should be. It's like, you know, you can use your platform and share your message, and you're going to help so many other people out there, inspire so many more people. And I feel like that should be the power of social media, is, you know, you should be able to influence and inspire many people. And I think if that continues the way it's going, the world's going to be such a different world. And I think the world's going to be more accepting, if anything, hopefully, if we keep going that way. And I think it needs to happen, because I think there's so much pressure, especially for the younger generation, having to be Instagram models, having to be perfect, like having to live this Instagram life. And I think now that people are starting to break through that, it's taken away from that. It's actually, let's be real on Instagram or social media.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, be real. That's the thing, isn't it? It's like that's like the new platform that everyone's using, and it is that seems to be what everyone's kind of craving, right? It's interesting. Yeah. Hear you talk about TikTok. So I don't have TikTok. I don't use it. I downloaded it once, and like it sucked like 3 hours out of my life. And I was like, I'm not ready for this. Not ready for another piece of my time to go. But I feel like I've heard different things about TikTok. Like, I think as far as I've kind of got the impression of it, there's a lot of maybe more kind of casual sort of content on there. Like, it's maybe not as curated as people still think Instagram is a lot of the time. But yeah. I have also heard it's very trolly, TikTok, as far as I'm aware. Is that true?
I think on mine, I haven't really had much trolls on mine. I probably get a few negative comments, but I literally just delete them. I'm just like, yeah. I really don't want you to ruin my day. So I'm literally like, delete, block. And I think trolls are going to be everywhere you go. Like, Twitter is probably the worst place for that, with trolls. Twitter is the deadliest place ever. Advice to anyone, you know, if you're going to show, just don't have Twitter.
But good advice.
Yeah. And I think that's just something that comes along with it, unfortunately, and you can't get rid of them. And as hard as it is, you just can't get rid of it. And I do, on TikTok though, they have like a, this might be good advice actually, I'm setting this somewhere, they have actually where you can actually type in keywords and it won't come up on your profile, so you won't see it. For example, if someone uses swear words or call you like a nasty name, you can able to block that word out, so those words don't come up on your comments and it blocks that. So I put on so many like nasty words and stuff, and nothing comes up relating to that. And you can also have like a monitor that kind of monitors. You can put it on like a higher setting, and it can really monitor the comments. But it's hard, because you just can't get rid of them, and you just kind of have to really block them out. And it's hard to say that, because even sometimes it gets to me sometimes, and it's one of those situations where you just really have to think, you know what, I'm better than that. I'm going to keep my head held high and don't stoop to that level. And you know, use that as motivation to do better and even to work harder to prove them wrong.
Yeah, love that. I think it is one of those things, isn't it? Like, you can't, it's obviously easier to say than it is to do, but like, you can't control other people's behavior. Yeah. But you know, even if you can't stop people saying nasty things, doesn't mean that, you know, the onus is on you to have to read the things. Like, absolutely, yeah. I totally agree. Like, blocking those kind of the rude like comment words, and like blocking people in general if they've got that to say, like, just because they're going to make those comments doesn't mean that you have to spend your day reading them, kind of thing. I'm definitely here for that kind of energy.
Exactly. That's how you got to think of it. You've got to think, well, you're wasting my time, so I'm going to waste your time and not read it.
Yeah. You keep screaming into the void, I can't even see what you're saying anyway.
Exactly.
So another way that you have been using your platforms, which I think is fair to say is like pretty unusual for, you know, an ex Love Island contestant, is to talk a lot about secondhand shopping, which is something I'm a big fan of personally. And we've talked a lot about sustainable fashion and things like that on the podcast before. So I'd love to just ask you a little bit about that, really. Like, is that something you've always been interested in?
I think definitely, even before the filler, I used to shop in like Shoreditch, you know, like Camden, Brick Lane, and I've shopped on eBay before, like Depop. And being in the filler, I think it really massively changed my perspective. And the things that eBay were giving us, actually, like, wow, like as if this was an eBay. And I really could not believe it. Like some of the stuff, like I was wearing like vintage Versace from like years ago. And I was actually like, what? Like I never wore Versace before. And I literally was like, I'm wearing Versace right now. And I just think coming out of the villa and even before kind of understanding fast fashion and the ethics and the morals behind it. And I've learned so much more coming out of it now, like really deep down into it. And I remember when I came back, I went into my room. I chucked away everything that was fast fashion. Not chucked away, gave it away to charity. I didn't like throw it out. Everything, like there was probably about 14 to 20 bin bags full. I literally was like, I'm getting rid of everything. Wow. And I think because it's crazy how much, you know, people's views can change. And now that I'm kind of like, my views have massively changed. And I've always loved vintage because a lot of my best friends are really cool, like fashion, like people. Mm. And they wear like vintage stuff. And like, they massively influenced me as well. And I'd be like, where did you get that from? They're like, Brick Lane. I'm like, what? I was like, no way. So I think it kind of like, it really did start to happen in the villa. But I think after being in the villa, massively changed my perception around it. And then obviously eBay came to me and said, like, we'd love to work with you. And I was like, 100%. And I think, if anything, it was probably the perfect collaboration between us two because I love my fashion and I love, like, I also love upcycling as well. Like, sometimes I like to take clothes and I chop it up, change it up. And I'm like, actually, it looks so much better than it did before. And now it's so good to know I can also use my platform to share my views and my messages. And, you know, of course, like, it's hard because it's all about making those little swaps, isn't it? You know, it's all about making those little changes. And then eventually you open up to a whole new world out there. Like you really do.
Yeah, definitely. Do you think people were quite surprised by that kind of partnership? Like in terms of if you were, you know, kind of like reading comments that you had from it on social media and stuff, do you feel like that did make an impact on your audience that they wouldn't have expected you to be doing that?
Definitely. I think being in there, I had quite a lot of praise about my fashion. And I honestly did not expect it coming out. Everyone's like, oh my God, Tasha, like, you know, fashion and stuff. And I literally thought I was just being like wearing like normal things. So I think I felt like there's a bit of pressure in terms of who I was going to partner with because I don't think people expected eBay at all. And I feel like people really look at eBay in such a negative way because they think, oh, eBay. And it's like, actually, no, eBay is a great platform and they're a great company. And what they stand for as well, they are great as a whole. So I think people were definitely shocked for sure. But I think it was more of a positive shock. It was like, you know, it was like finally someone's done it kind of thing. And I had a few other brands, you know, wanting to come to, and I said no. I was like, eBay's the one for me. And I was like, I don't know. Like, you know, you just feel it in the bones. I was like, and for other reasons why I wanted to do eBay is because, you know, I want to work with kind of like higher end kind of like designer brands and stuff. And I love vintage. That plays a massive part into that. And obviously sharing much more about sustainability. And it's better, so much better for the planet as well. So I think a lot of people were definitely shocked for sure. But I think people like it makes sense kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean that is the good part, isn't it? I mean, as you say, like changing people's behavior, it doesn't always have to be you completely change everything about yourself overnight. But especially as you say, with different brands and like designer brands, I feel like are maybe more common or more accepted like in a resale market, because I think people have, I don't know, kind of maybe just inherently a bit more respect for kind of like the label in the clothes. And it makes sense that they were like, oh, well, you can't throw that away because it's from XYZ designer. So do you think it's kind of about sort of gently leading people in to secondhand shopping? And then, you know, people will sort of realize, oh, well, I bought that secondhand because it was from X designer. This is great. Yeah. I love this piece of clothing. And it'll sort of lead them into like more of those habits in general.
Definitely. And I think also small businesses as well. Like I love to work with small businesses that don't even have a huge platform, like, for example, like Gucci or Louis Vuitton. but their, you know, their ethics and their quality of clothing is amazing. And you have small businesses on eBay as well. And even some brands, I literally find them, I have my little look on Instagram, I'd be like, wow, they are a really cool brand. Like, even if they've got like 1,000 followers on Instagram, I'd be like, you know, I'll buy something from there, because I think supporting small businesses as well is also a lot better. And eBay also has that platform for them. And I think with eBay, it's not just clothes as well. Like, you've got, you can buy secondhand Dyson Airwrap, you can literally get anything on there. And I think that's what's so great, is that you can also buy something better than new with eBay. You can also get new things on eBay. So I feel like people just think it's like old stuff, like, you know, that from years ago. And that's not the case, actually. You can find, like, for example, H&M have this massive collection called Metaverse or something, and it's sold out like that, and people are selling on eBay now for like triple the price though, which is crazy. It's like, it goes to show that you can get things for new. And I think, yeah, it's just, there's just such a negative outlook on people who wear secondhand, and I'm trying to break that boundary and break that stigma of like, it's not actually embarrassing, it's actually, if anything, it's better. It's great that you're doing that. And it's just, yeah, I think people see it as embarrassing, and it's kind of like, who wants to wear secondhand kind of thing? It's like, well, it's not, it's weird, isn't it? It's such a perception. Yeah. It's kind of like, it shouldn't be like that. And I think me working with eBay is to really break that kind of view that people have on that.
Well, perfect. We're definitely, I speak for myself and listeners of the podcast, I feel like we're generally, you know, pretty pro secondhand fashion. So definitely here for that messaging and like bringing that to a whole different audience, which is essentially what you will be doing.
For sure.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Every week, my guest and I will be answering your questions, and the first one comes in from Ellie, who says, as someone who also wears cochlear implants, how did you get the confidence to tell friends about your deafness, as well as things like wearing your hair up and showing off your implant? I've just started uni, and due to bad experiences in the past, I'm finding it really hard to wear my hair up or tell my new friends.
Oh, that's a good question. I think for me, I wasn't always confident as a person. You know, during school, I always had my hair down. I'd never show it. I never would speak about it. And I think when I got to my kind of like 18, 20s, I think that's kind of where I really started to not compare myself in a negative way. It's hard because like, you do it naturally. And I think, you know, remember that your cochlear implant does not define you. It's a part of you that's something special, and it's something that makes you a bit unique. And own that, embrace that. It makes you so beautiful, and it's all about taking baby steps. Like, you have to hang in there and be patient. You know, confidence doesn't come in a day, it takes a while, and it's all about working on yourself and building that self-love within yourself. And it's really just about trusting the process, and don't be too hard on yourself either. If you have down days, that is also okay. And I feel like there's so much pressure of having to be confident, and it's like, it takes a while. And just take baby steps. Maybe one day just wear your hair up. For, if you can get to 10 minutes, that's an incredible achievement. You know, take that achievement. Then the next day, do it for 20 minutes. And it's all about really taking that confidence just a little bit day by day. And then that time will just come to you and it will just click in you. And I think that's what happened with me. It just kind of happened. And I just kind of found myself within myself. And I think just keep doing you and just don't put pressure on yourself. And remember, no one else is you, and that's your biggest power. And I always say that is, you, no one else is really you, and that's the best power you can have. So own that power and surround yourself with positive people, surround yourself with people that lift you up, surround yourself with people that are there for you. And I'm telling you now, your friends will not judge you. Your friends, if they are your true friends, they will support you, they will love you for who you are. And don't be scared. I know it's scary to take that first step of telling them, but once you tell them, you're going to feel that whole weight off your shoulders.
That's such lovely advice. I think it's, I mean, that's obviously not an experience I can relate to specifically, but even from my experience of, you know, that time where you start uni does feel so kind of, it's like, it can be quite a time of reinvention because, you know, you're probably in a new place, like in a new area, like with all new people, they don't know your past. So even if you've had bad experiences before, that must feel really scary, but you can try and kind of leave those behind you and the new people won't be aware of those. So yeah. I think it is a good time to try and present a bit more confidence in yourself because people won't know that you weren't confident before.
Definitely. And I think, like, honestly, people will support you. Like, I've told a lot of people and I've not had one bit of like negative person come back to me and be like, that's so weird. Like, a lot of people think, oh my God, that is really cool. So like you said, take it as a new fresh start, new chapter, and, you know, use this time to build on yourself for sure.
Yeah. I also think, sorry, I mean, this is, has obviously just set something off of me. I feel like you start uni and it's often that thing as well. Like, you might meet people in like the first bit of freshers or something, or you meet people on your course and go through these experiences of like telling people about yourself. But also uni is a lot longer than those first like few months when you start. Like, you're going to meet a lot more people like over the course of those numbers of years. So even if you feel like you're not 100% comfortable in the group that you found like right at the beginning, like there's a lot more of that experience left. So I feel like, yeah, that can maybe point people off a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that, to be fair.
Next question is from Shan, who asks, what advice would you give to someone who may not know how to act around a deaf person if they don't know sign language? I know sometimes when people try and help, things sometimes come across as offensive or rude.
Okay, that's actually a very good question. I've had it quite a few times where people don't know how to approach me and they're like, I don't know how to approach. And I think if you start thinking like that, then obviously it's going to maybe come across rude or maybe come across a bit different. So I think best advice, obviously I'm hearing impaired, but I thought a deaf person, you know, just tap them on the shoulder lightly. And, you know, if you don't know BSL, you can write it down, you can type it on your phone, or if they can lip read, you can use a diction and really articulate your speech. And then obviously they'd be able to lip read you. But don't think you're being rude. I think I get where you're coming from, because it's kind of like you don't want to be like, oh, but honestly, don't be like, just tap them on the shoulder and, you know, and then just say, I don't know BSL. And people don't mind you just writing down, it's absolutely fine, or typing on the phone. I sometimes do that with Andrew, and I don't have my cochlear implant in. And then he's talking to me, I'm like, can you just type it on the phone? Because I can't bother putting it in at the moment. I'm just like, I'm too tired. I want a break from it. But yeah, I think those are probably the best three top tips, really. And don't be like scared. Like, don't treat them as any different. Like, they're exactly the same as you. And I think if you treat them different, then they're going to be a bit like, okay, well, why are you kind of, do you know what I mean? So I think just be normal, like how you usually are.
Yeah, and that's good advice. And I think it's, I find it important sometimes to kind of include questions like that, because I think that's the kind of question that someone would feel quite awkward to ask, even, and just to kind of, it can be quite uncomfortable to say, like, I don't really know how to act in this situation. So I really appreciate your advice there. Thank you.
Yeah, it's all good.
Okay, and last question. Again, we've got a confidency kind of question, but in a different sort of vein. So last question from Tamara, who says, I love your style so much, but how did you become confident enough to wear whatever you wanted? And also, were you ever worried about what people in your hometown would think when you started influencing and making content?
So that's that kind of that two in one. Okay. Yeah. So the first half, so how to get confident in what I wear. I think how I got confident in what I wear, I just think it, because I'm a dancer, so being a dancer, you're kind of very in an industry where people express themselves and people really express who they are through clothes, through dancing. And I think dancing industry made me really more open to that, I think. And I think sometimes you have to take risk with fashion, and that's how you find your style. And for example, there's just a red carpet I did for TV Choice Awards, something like that. And I went with like a really cool, like cut out suit look, and I have like bleached brows and red lips, and I thought, you know what, I'm gonna go for it. And you know, that's kind of how I kind of really started to play around with my fashion, get confident. It's taking those risks, and if you take those risks that scare you, then you get more confidence in those styles that you wear. So I think, and obviously I love to wear joggers as well, so there's days where I literally just go out in a pair of joggers. I'm not always like a fashion like girl walking out of my door. But I think it's all about just playing around with it and going out of your comfort zone. If you're normally like a neutral kind of colour girl, go for something a bit pop of colour that can really start to change it and put you outside the box a little bit. So it's really just about taking that little steps. And if you're normally like a dress person, maybe one night wear trousers and a top and change it up a bit. So I think it's all about just going for something you don't usually go for. And that's how you find your confidence with the styles that, you know, and that's how you find so many more different kind of cool styles that you wear. And then the confidence just comes with it, I guess. And then the second half of the question, I came from a very small town called Thirsk, and it's a very, very small town in the countryside, sheep and cows, and there's not many people in my town. So I actually moved to London about 5-6 years ago, and I've been away from home for so many years, and I think people in my town knew that I was never going to stay in town. I was that kind of girl that had big dreams to chase. And I think people knew that and saw that in me. And I think, hopefully, the people in my town are proud of me, because I've kind of, I hope that I've represented my town well, because I've come out of Thirsk and gone into my own journey. And I think, of course, people are maybe going to judge you, but you have to be like, I have to do what's best for me. And, you know, you can't live in thirst to please other people. You have to do what you want to do in life and how you want your life to go. So that's why I made that big decision to move to London, and that's got me where I am now. So I think with content creating and stuff, and that's just kind of obviously my job. So yeah, I think, yeah, it's weird when I go home as well. It's like, it's so crazy to go home, but it really, it's just one of those things that, you know, when you make that big move, you know, people may judge you because they're still at home in Thirsk, but, you know, I'm not judging them because they made that decision to do that. So I just made my decision to be like, actually, I'm going to go somewhere, chase my dreams. And that's how I got to where I am now.
Well, you know, I think that's a good lesson, isn't it? Sort of, you've just got to do what is right for you. And that's kind of the thing. Yeah, I think it's quite like, it's quite a funny one, I feel like, with the kind of content and influencing sort of thing in general, because it's something that is so everywhere in our society now. And, you know, everyone's following lots of different people, and it's kind of, you see a lot of the content, but you don't see a huge amount of what goes into it and how it gets made. So it'll be the kind of thing where you might see someone's, you know, outfit photo on Instagram or something, and it seems completely normal. But if you see someone on the street, like stopping to take like content pictures and things, it still seems like it's something really odd. So I think there's still that bit of a disconnect between sort of how the sausage gets made, you know, like we don't want to see the process of it, and it feels like it's maybe can feel like it's a bit weirder when it's someone you know.
Yeah,
but everyone's consuming that content anyway, so like if they're judging it, it doesn't really make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people see influencing as not a real job, and that's probably one of the sentences that, you know, upsets me, because it's like so much effort and hard work goes into content creation, and people think it takes 5 minutes, boom, like you've got the picture, you've got the video, you've got the content. Like sometimes it could take a whole day, sometimes it could take a week, and a lot of people think it's so easy, but trust me, when I came out of the villa, I was like, I wasn't sure how it's going to go. And I literally look back on the 6 months, I'm like, wow, that was a lot of hard work. It really is hard work to constantly stay on top of it and doing other things as well. Like when you're working with brands, multiple brands, you're having to do content for them. And it's like, there's so much that goes into it. It's crazy. Really is crazy.
Which again, I think is a good thing to mention, like, because it's something that so many people want to do. Like nobody's saying it's brain surgery, like, but it's also not super easy. Like, just because it's not a hard job doesn't mean there aren't parts of it that are hard or you don't have to put work into it. If you want to know about opportunities to send in questions for upcoming guests, then follow us on Instagram or Twitter at goodinfluencegs, or you can email the podcast at goodinfluencepod@gmail.com. Before you go, I've got three things I ask every guest, and that's if listeners want to find out more about what we've been talking about. Could you please recommend us something to read, something to listen to, and something to watch?
Okay, something to read is the Bridgerton book. I actually read this when I was in quarantine. It's so much better in a book than on the screen, I think. I really enjoyed it.
Really?
Yeah, it was really good. I finished it in like 2 days. And then something to watch. This is actually quite interesting. The Traitors on BBC. It's a really interesting twist on like a game kind of show. So yeah, The Traitors. I don't want to give the plot away because I give it away, but it's really, really good. Mm-hmm. And something to listen to is The CEO of Diaries. Is that what it's called? CEO of Diaries with Stephen.
Diary of a CEO.
That's it. I got you the way around. I listen to that sometimes. I think he's a really great inspirational man, and he has amazing guests on there as well that are very inspirational and share their experiences. So I really enjoy listening to his podcast sometimes.
Thank you for listening, and thank you, Tasha, for joining me. If you enjoyed the episode, I would love you to subscribe to the podcast on whichever platform you're using. And if you're feeling generous, you can leave a rating and a review as well. See you next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.